Chapel, September the 27th. Jim Sherling speaking, a student at Southeastern.
God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we bow before thee in the name of thy blessed Son, who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. We beseech thee to bless all who, following in his steps, give themselves to the service of their fellow men. Endue us, our Father, we pray thee, with wisdom, patience, and courage to strengthen the weak and raise up those who fall, that being inspired by thy love, we may worthily minister in thy name to the suffering, the friendless, and the needy. For the sake of him who laid down his life for us, the same thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our chapel speaker this morning is Mr. Jim Sherling, who is a graduate student in the CW area. May we listen to him with considerate and openness as we come before the throne of God in preparation for his service.
This morning I shall read a few verses from the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. And these verses say this: Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the likeness of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, Let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It was during the summer of this year that a television program sought to demonstrate what we've been told so many times, that one picture is worth a thousand words. We've even been told this to the extent that we've been exhorted not to say anything, for what we are speaks louder than what we say. To be sure, what one thinks of himself goes a long way in determining what others will think of him. We live in a day when the image of a person, the image of an organization, the image of an institution seems to be all important. Even in our convention, there has been a study made of the image of Southern Baptists in the minds of other peoples. How would you characterize a minister? What would you say would go into making up a portrait of a minister of the gospel? This summer, it was my good pleasure to meet a young man, a doctor by profession, and in a conversation with him, he said these words that were at once astounding and beautiful. He defined medicine in this way. Medicine is an art that uses all the science it can get. It depends on God for 99% of all that it does. So don't ever take any credit for anything you do. And as I pondered these words, I wondered if they may not well be a definition of the ministry. And it would go like this. The ministry is an art It uses all the science it can get, but it depends on God for 99% of all that it does. So we need not ever take any credit for anything we do. The ministry is an art. The minister is an artist. The minister is he who seeks to use the materials available, to use the colors at his disposal, to draw together a clear, coherent picture of what the gospel is, so that those about him can see this picture and know. To be sure, he's like the sculptor who takes the raw materials that seem to be in a massive lump with no form or with no shape and with no comeliness, and with skill and with love and with concern would use all of his gifts to mold them into something beautiful and useful and purposeful. The minister is an artist who seeks to bring out of chaos a beautiful contemporary picture of what the message of the gospel is, of what it is all about to say that Jesus Christ is Lord, what it means to say that God in Christ gave himself for us. We're artists who in our day seek to bring to bear upon the light and lives of men the information and insight and heartfelt encouragement that we know from day to day. The minister is an artist. He stands to look at his art. He tries to understand how best he can express himself, not only to be understood, but so that he will not be misunderstood. And so he enters his workshop with his folk in mind. He enters his workshop knowing that what he does there will have a great deal to do with what he does elsewhere. The minister is an artist, but he also uses all the science he can get. The minister's a student. He's a student who seeks to find out for himself what the Word of God is all about. He listens always to hear that Word. He listens always to find out what that Word is. And he looks about him to see men and women and young people who look to him for some word from the Lord. Is there a word from the Lord? The gospel says there is. And we as ministers indeed would say, yes, there is a word. And with the gift of the artist and with the skill of the scientist, we would seek to make this word coherent and intelligible and understandable to those who need to hear it. The minister listens. The minister looks. And he may hear the voice of God speak from the pages of Scripture. He may hear the voice of God speak through the very medium of culture in which we live. The dramatist may have a message for us. The poet may have something to say to us. The educator does indeed have something to say to us. The fine scientists of this country and of all the world indeed do have something to say to us. And who are we to close our minds and not to hear the word of the Lord that may come from this quarter? And alack and alas, it may be that we would even hear the word of the Lord among our brethren, among the persons in need where we minister, among the young people who seek to understand what God is like, among the young people who battle with temptations in adolescence, who seek somehow to gain maturity, not only in their bodies, but in their minds and in their souls. And they look and ask questions, and could it not be that here could come a word from the Lord? The minister is a scientist who with precision and with accuracy seeks out the truth to be found in the book, seeks out the truth to be found in men's hearts, and seeks deep into his own heart to see what is really there. He uses the very best knowledge that he has. He uses the very best intelligence at his disposal. He uses the very best tools that can be offered in the way of scholarship, in the way of insight from other quarters. And he ought always to be aware that he too is a scientist. It is he who is the teacher. It is he who is the pastor to wayward folk. It is he who brings the message of reconciliation to the wanderer, the message of hope to the hopeless, the message of love to the despondent. The minister is a scientist. And with his gift of the art, and with his gift of science, he seeks to correlate the questions the world is asking and the answer that God has to bear. But this isn't all. To be sure, if we stopped here, we'd be unfaithful. Not only is the minister the artist, the scientist, but he must depend on God for 99% of all that he does and never take any credit for it. The first affirmation that every Christian must make before anything else has meaning is Jesus Christ is Lord. And unless this affirmation is made, no other affirmation has any meaning, however beautiful or pertinent it may seem to be. Thomas the Doubter it was who, in having to see visible proof, fell to his knees to say, "My Lord and my God." The minister is first of all a Christian who knows in his own life the transformation of the gospel, who knows in his own life the transforming, redeeming power of Jesus Christ, and who knows in his own life a continuing, abiding fellowship that grows day by day. And with this as a foundation, and with this affirmation real and burning within his soul, he can become the artist and the scientist that will be useful. He can become the messenger of the Lord who has a message of hope and good news, and he can be indeed a friend to all men. There's no place in the ministry for boasting. Paul said this a long time ago. If there's any boast you and I have, it is only this: that God loved us enough to die for us in Christ, but this was on his own initiative. In the cross of Christ I glory, said Paul. There's no reason for us to boast. There's no reason for us to blow our own horn, so to say. There's no reason for us to take pride in our BD degrees or in our intellectual prowess. There's no reason for us to believe that we have been gifted above all men. There's no reason for us to believe we occupy a unique position in society and ought to be catered to as unique individuals. But if Jesus Christ is our Lord, and if we have the burning desire in our hearts to be assistants to him, then we will bring to bear from our affirmation of faith all that we are and have and hope to be in seeking to minister in the name of Christ. It was Martin Luther who said, I believe, I am in bondage to no man, and yet I'm in bondage to every man. I am in bondage to no one of you, and yet it is my responsibility to seek to be a Christ to those in need. This is the strange paradox of our faith. This is the strange paradox of our calling. We are free only in slavery. Slavery to our Lord, who gives us the gifts that we have, the gift of our faith, the gift of our call to be disciples, and the gift of the talents of artistry, the gift of having the world open up to us its treasures of scientific knowledge, and the gift of fellowship one with another, wherein we're strengthened to the glory of God. the ministry is an art that uses all the science it can get. But it depends on God for 99% of all that it does. So you and I need not ever take any credit for anything we do. We're going to join together in singing hymn 4.